Book of Revelation was written by the Apostle John. The Apostle John had a special place in the heart of Jesus. He was part of the inner circle along with his brother James and Peter. They got to do things that the other disciples didn't get to do. For example, when Jesus went up on the mountain and was transfigured, he took those three disciples with him. Moses and Elijah were there. Peter said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and let's just stay here." John was part of that group. He was also, along with James and Peter, there when Jesus went into the room and brought Jairus' daughter back from the dead. Just those three disciples and the little girl's mom and dad were with Jesus when he did that. And then that night before he was crucified, John was one of the three, again, along with James and Peter, that got to go deeper into the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus asked all of his disciples, but especially these three, to pray as he faced the crucifixion the next day. At the Last Supper, it was the Apostle John that leaned on Jesus' breast. It says in John chapter 21, "Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned at his breast at supper, and said, 'Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?'" And so it was John that was leaning on his breast when Jesus gave the disciples the Last Supper. And he was the one that asked the question when Jesus said, "Somebody at this table is going to betray me." It was John that asked the question, "Which one of us is it?" We know from the Bible that Jesus loves everybody. It says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." You could put your name there in that place of the word "world," and that verse would be just as true. He loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son to die for your sin. But the Bible says that John was one of the four people that specifically the Bible says that Jesus loved. It was John along with Lazarus and Mary and Martha. This beloved disciple is now in exile. In Revelation 1:9, the Bible says, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." He was there for preaching Jesus. He was there for witnessing. He was there for telling people about heaven and about hell. That's why he was exiled. It was on the Lord's Day, Revelation 1:10. "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and heard a great voice as of a trumpet." And then in Revelation 1:19, I referenced this in Sunday school, "Write the things which thou hast seen and the things which are and the things which shall be hereafter." In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, John shows the things that are. We know them as the letters to the seven churches. And they include instructions and rebuke and encouragement to the churches that were in existence at that time. Then in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, we read the verse a minute ago. The Bible says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven." You know, most of us, when we see a closed door, we're curious as to what's behind it. I have little kids that go through the church sometimes and they see the doors and they say, "Preacher, what's behind that?" Well, I got to admit, I'm like that. When I was when I had some different plants that I was responsible for, when I worked for GM, I would go to those plants and I would take tours. I would make them open every door because I wanted to know what was behind it. Now, those of you that worked in GM plants, you know there's a ton of doors in every plant. And so it was usually the first time that I went, we went around and we opened every door so that I could see what was behind it. You say, did you need to know what was behind it? Probably not. Because, I mean, there was electrical stuff and there were janitor stuff and there were all sorts. I didn't need to know what. I was just curious. I wanted to know what was behind that door. So here's John, one of the inner circle of disciples who was loved by Jesus in exile because he was preaching. And Jesus says, "Hey, John, I'm going to open the door to heaven. I'm going to let you look in, and I'm going to show you some things that are going to happen hereafter." I want you to write them down. And again, we talked about it in Sunday school. One of the reasons the book of Revelation was written was as an encouragement to Christians. Christians that were being persecuted. Christians that were being arrested. Christians that were being killed for their faith. And so God says, hey, look, I'm going to open the door to heaven. I'm going to let you see what heaven's all about. I'm going to show you some things that are going to happen, and I want you to write it all down and let people read it. I mentioned in Sunday school, there's four people that have gone to heaven. Enoch went to heaven. He hasn't come back. Elijah went to heaven. He hasn't come back yet, but he came back on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he's going to come back in the last days to be with Moses, one of the witnesses in the last days. And then John went to heaven, as we read about in the book of Revelation, at least went through the saw into heaven through the open door. And then Paul went to heaven. And so there's a reason that God let John peek into heaven. There's a reason that God wants us to know about heaven. The Jews had a saying that sort of makes the point why God wants us to think about heaven and to know about heaven. But the Jews had a saying, let Jerusalem come into your mind. Let Jerusalem come into your mind. Again, we talked about in Sunday school that Jerusalem was God's city. It was a holy city set aside to him. And this saying, let Jerusalem come into your mind, was a reminder to the Jews that no matter where they went, no matter what battle they were fighting, no matter what burden they bore, no matter what pressure was in their life, let Jerusalem come into your mind, reminded of them of that city, God's city. And as they were reminded of God's city, they were encouraged, they were comforted, they were inspired, they were cheered as he thought about that city of God, the capital city of the Hebrews, the capital city of Jerusalem, God's city. That's the reason that God cracked open this door to heaven so that John could look in. He wanted all of us to keep in mind what's in store for us. As we go through the trials of life, as we face the pressures of life, as we face the persecutions and the different things that come into our life, the battles that we have to fight, the burdens that we have to bear, Jesus says, God says, let heaven be on your mind. You think about what's to come. It will encourage you. It'll keep you going when you want to quit. This world's not our home. We're just a passing through. There's some place far greater that God has in store for us. And if we keep that place in mind, we can stay encouraged. We can keep on keeping on. We can keep doing what God wants us to do. So God opened the door in heaven. Said, John, take a peek. Write it down. As we look through that place, that door in heaven, I want to mention some things that we see. We see, first of all, a place. A place. Listen, my friend, heaven is a place. There's a lot of people teaching today that heaven is just a state of mind. It's an abstraction. It's just an idea. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, heaven is a place. In John chapter 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. Kay said, between Sunday school and church, Pastor, I have a theological question for you. And once I understood what the question was, here's what the question. She said, I want to know where I'm going to live in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. In the millennial reign of Christ. I want to know if I'm going to have a mansion in that 1,000 years like I'm going to have in heaven. I said, Kay, I don't know. I don't know where you're going to live. She said, well, I want something else in that 1,000 years. I said, what's that? She says, I want to be taller. Now, if you don't know Kay, stand up for just a minute. Just stand up for a minute. Now, there's Kay. Not on your tiptoes, on your feet. So she wants to be taller, okay? So listen, when that door to heaven was open, what we see is a place. Jesus said in John chapter 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now listen, I go to prepare a place for you. A place. It's not an abstraction. It's not somebody's imagination. It's not an idea. Heaven is a real place, just like this is a real place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am in that place, so ye may be also. It's a place. It's a real place. A city. It's called, in a different place in the Bible, it's called a city. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. A city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Well, what kind of place is it? Well, it's a holy place. A holy place. The Bible says that nothing that defileth shall enter in. Nothing that is unclean. Nothing that is unholy, nothing that is impure, nothing that is unchaste. Those things will not get in to heaven. I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm so tired of the world bombarding us with unholy, unclean, impure thoughts and ideas. It's everywhere. You can't turn on the television, you can't turn on the radio, you can't pick up a magazine, you can't pick up a newspaper, you can't drive down the street. Many times you can't overhear a conversation without being exposed to something that's dirty and wicked and filthy. Paul cried out in Romans 7:24, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Where can I go, Paul is asking, where I'm not exposed to sin, where I'm not exposed to wickedness, where I'm not exposed to the wicked imagination of men? Paul, there is a place. There's a place where there is no sin. There is no wickedness. There is none of the things that mar this earth. That place is called heaven. It's a holy place. It's also a busy place. The Bible tells us that his servants will serve him there. I know many people picture heaven where we're just going to lay on a cloud. We have a harp. We're going to strum that harp and we're going to sing praises to God. Have you ever known anybody that's been happy just sitting around doing nothing? Now, I know some of you. I know some of you may think that that's what you want. But I guarantee you, if you got that where all you had to do was sit around and do nothing, you'd last about 2 days, and then you'd be bored out of your gourd. You would. Nobody likes that. I mean, I've known people that have worked and worked and worked and worked, and they've said, "I can't wait till I retire." I said, "Why do you want to retire?" "So I can do nothing. I don't want to do nothing. I just want to sit around." And those are the people, once they retire, they get so busy, they don't know when they had time to work. They're so busy. Most people do not want to lay around doing nothing. And so this picture of heaven, of us just laying on a cloud, plucking a harp, it's not going to be. We're going to have things to do in heaven. I mean, one of the things that we're all going to do is we're going to praise him. And we're going to worship him, as Angie sang about this morning. We're going to pour our love out to him. But look, we're not going to just lay around. Heaven's going to be a busy place. We're going to have all eternity to serve the Lord. We're going to have all eternity to get the things that God wants us to get done. Sometimes down here, I get frustrated because I have more to do than I have time to do. I was one of those people who said, "Boy, when I retire, I'm going to do whatever I want." Well, I found a lot of things I want to do. So many things I don't have time to do them. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm given the important things in life the time that I should give it because there's so many important things in life. But when we get to heaven, we're going to be able to get it done because we're going to have all eternity to serve him. So it's a place, it's a holy place, it's a busy place, yet it's a restful place. It's a restful place. Down here we get tired. Down here we get weary. Our bodies get tired, our minds get tired, our spirits get tired, but not in heaven. Not in heaven. I read the story one day of a pastor that went to visit a widow in his church. She had three children that she was raising by herself. She had to get up early to get the things done around the house. She worked a job to support her family, and then she came home at night and did all the other things that she didn't get done in the morning. And the pastor was visiting with her, and he asked her the question, "Ma'am, what about heaven appeals most to you? What's the most appealing thing to you about heaven?" And as tears flowed down her cheeks, she said, "Pastor, the thing that delights me most when I think about heaven is someday I'll get to rest. I'll get to rest." We sing the song, "O land of rest, for thee I sigh. When will the moment come?" We sing another song talking about the haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. And so it's a holy place. It's a busy place. It's a restful place. It's a place that has a lot of people there. The door of heaven was open. John looked through and he said, "I saw a great multitude." A great multitude. Now, I don't want to get into the debate this morning about how old we're going to be in heaven. I don't know. I don't know. But I wonder, as John looked into heaven, if he saw little babies. Little babies, those whose lives were taken before they breathed their first breath. Heaven's going to be full of those little babies. I wonder if he looked in and saw little children. Children that sang the song, "Jesus loves me," who with childlike faith one day put their faith in Jesus Christ. Teenagers who beat back the pressures of this world to conform, who decided they were going to trust Christ and live for him. Dads and moms, grandpas and grandmas who trusted the one who died for them. Every person who puts their faith in Jesus Christ will be in heaven. I said in Sunday school, there'll be thousands and thousands of people in heaven. And yet, each of us will feel, because of the relationship that we'll be able to enjoy with Jesus Christ, each of us will feel like we're the only one there. Because the Lord will love us so much and devote so much attention to us because of that love. Even though there'll be thousands and thousands of people around us, we'll feel that he's given us all of his attention, all of his love. It'll be a populous place. It'll be a happy place. No night, no pain, no tears, no death, no goodbyes. All the things that rob us of our joy here. From an earthly standpoint, I know we have joy in the Lord, joy unspeakable and full of glory, but all the things of this earth that rob us of our happiness are not going to be in heaven. There'll be no place for them there. What kind of place is heaven? It's a holy place, a busy place, a restful place, a populous place, a happy place. What kind of place is heaven? It's home. It's home. Now, when I say that word, probably different places come to your mind. Maybe the place you live now. Maybe the place you grew up. But the word home paints a different picture in each of our minds. And if we had time, we'd go around the room and I'd ask some of you, when I say the word home, what do you think of? What place do you think of? What people do you think of? You think of a place where people love you. You think of a place where you can rest. A place of comfort. A place where you have joy. A place of peace. We don't have that in this world. This world's not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon us from heaven's open door. And we can't feel at home in this world anymore. Let me ask you this morning, is that where you're going? Are you going to that place that John got to look into that place called heaven. I mentioned it in Sunday school. I don't know of any person in their right mind that would choose to go to hell instead of going to heaven. You see, you only have two choices. You can either go to that place that we've been talking about this morning, that place called heaven, or you can go to hell. And you get to make the choice. You see, God wants everybody to go to heaven. There's room in heaven for every person. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But he doesn't force us to make that decision. He leaves it up to us. It's our choice. We can either choose to put our faith in Jesus Christ, or we can reject Christ. And if we reject Christ, the place that we go to spend eternity is that place called hell. You say, preacher, why is that? Well, the Bible tells us. The Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's a wage that we owe for that sin, and that wage is death. The wages of sin is death, it says in Romans 6:23. Death is not physical death, but spiritual death. Separation from God. A holy, righteous God cannot be in the presence of sin. He made you to have a relationship with him. Your sin separates you from God. And so the wages of sin is death, separation from God. But, I like the buts in the Bible, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The only way to heaven is to come through Christ. You see, there's only one door. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You can't get to heaven except going through the door of Jesus Christ. You can't get to heaven by joining a church. You can't get to heaven by getting baptized. You can't get to heaven by doing a bunch of good things. You can only get to heaven by trusting Jesus. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And for you to think that you can get to heaven any other way than Jesus Christ is foolishness. It's wrong. And it's going to lead you to an eternity in hell. You see, the only way to get to heaven is God's way. And the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. So let me ask you again, is that where you're going? Are you going to that holy place, that busy place, that restful place, that populous place, that happy place? Are you going to that home that God hath prepared for you? Are you? Battle of Gettysburg was a fierce battle in the Civil War. Many were wounded and killed. A sergeant was riding through the battlefield a couple nights after the battle. He was looking for soldiers from both sides that he could help. He saw a soldier lying in a ditch, lying on his back. As he looked at him, he said, well, it's too late for him. He's already dead. But then as he looked at the soldier's face, he saw a faint smile form on his lips. He dismounted. He went down into the ditch and cradled the soldier's head in his arms. He whispered in his ear, prayed for him. The soldier never responded to anything he said. But every once in a while, he would smile. And in a still small voice that the surgeon had to put his ear down to the soldier's mouth to hear, here's what he said as he smiled, I'm home. Yep. Amen. I'm home. I'm home. I hope every single person here, when your time comes, either by death or the rapture, you can walk through that pearl gate of heaven and you can say, I'm home. I'm home. That's what God desires for every person. That's what this preacher desires for every person. That you can enter the gate of heaven and say, I'm home. Can't do that unless you know Christ. You can't do that unless you admit you're a sinner and trust him to save you from your sins. That's the only way. Will you trust him this morning? Would you? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for making it so clear what eternity holds, what the future holds. Thank you for opening that door that John could look into heaven and see what's going on in heaven. And I pray this morning that every single person here has trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Knows beyond a shadow of a doubt, because the Bible says that we can know, knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that when they leave this earth, they'll go to be with you and be there forever and ever and ever. But I pray, Father, that if there's just one here that doesn't know that, one person who's still in their sin, still under the condemnation of death, separation from you, I pray that you'd help them understand this morning that they don't want to go to hell. They don't want to pay for their sins themselves. I pray you'd help them understand what Jesus did for them on Calvary. And Father, bring them to the Savior this morning. Woo them to the Savior this morning. Help them see that Jesus is the only chance that they have to have their sins forgiven and to have a future in heaven. Speak to every heart, every Christian that's here. Remind us, as the Jews said, let Jerusalem come into your mind. For every Christian, let heaven come into our mind so that we can know what awaits us, so that it can be an encouragement and comfort to us as we go through this life. I pray you'll bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. Help those that need to be saved to come. Help those Christians that you're talking to about something else, if they need to do something this morning, help them to do it. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.